of December 2013 in Chicago. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in Chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, reading Text 13. Mahatmanastamam parta daivim prakatimashita prajantinanya manaso gyatva bhutadam avyayam. Mahatmana, the great souls, unto me, Partha, O son of Pritha, Daivim, divine, Prakatim, nature, Ashritaha, having taken shelter of, Pajanti, renders service, Ananya Manasaha, without deviation of the mind, Gyatva, knowing, Bhuta, of creation, Adim, the origin, Avyayam, inexhaustible. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of a great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Shall I read the next one now, or should I leave time? I'm sorry? Okay. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this chapter is known as the most confidential knowledge. As we learn in text 2, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, that this is the king of all knowledge and the king of all secrets, and it is gives direct perception of the self by realization, and it is also happily and joyfully performed. And in the end of that purport, this text too, Prabhupada says, therefore one should take it up. He goes through each one of those points and he illuminates it. And then he enjoins everyone to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. Now, in the first part of this chapter, Krishna then explains his constitutional position, if you will. He talks about how he's present everywhere, and yet he's not present. It's a kind of a paradox, an Upanishadic thing going on there, that all beings are in me, yet I am not in them, that behold, they're not in me. See my mystic opulence, right? He says like that. And then he describes how that he's the creator of everything. Everything enters into him, finally all these beings, and at the end, at the beginning of the creation, everyone comes out again. And then he has this critical verse, Maya Jakshena Prakati Suyaste Sacharacharam, which is, by the way, practically every verse in this chapter is quoted by Prabhupada often. You could, if you're interested in learning verses, you could probably not do better than just memorize the whole chapter. But this is a specially often quoted verse, Maya Jakshena Prakati Suyate Sacharacharam, that this whole universe is being affected, if you will, by the material energy. It's being the material energy is working and creating everything, and the whole universe is going on, but I'm overseeing it. Maya Jakshena. Only by my superintendence does Prakriti work. As we learn from the Brahma Samhita, the material energy works as kind of a shadow, is really under the direction of the Lord, but in the material world, we don't see that direction of the Lord. And so the scientists, if you ask them, how does something work? How does the liver, you know, process fat? You know, and they'll give you all kinds of scientific ways in which it happens, like chemicals and the latest medical knowledge. But they're telling you, you know, they may understand something about how the material energy works, but where the intelligence comes behind all that, they don't understand. Just like Prabhupada describes, a child watches the car come down the street, you know, or he's looking at a railroad coming. And the child thinks the railroad is just coming on its own. He doesn't understand there's an engineer behind it. Without the driver, the thing doesn't work. So this whole material energy is working under Krishna's superintendence. Very important understanding. There's an intelligence behind everything, and that intelligence ultimately belongs to Krishna. And then he describes how the fools, this is text 11. Text 11 and 12 describe the mudhas. Avajananti ma mudha manusim tanamashatam. When Krishna appears in human form, they don't understand that this form is that same Supreme Personality. Padam bhavma jananto. They don't understand my supreme nature and my lordship, my control of everything that be. And so what do? They ignore him, or they deride Krishna, and then everything that they do is a failure. Moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana bachetasa. These bewildered souls, their hopes for success in this world are baffled. Their activities ultimately are frustrated. Their knowledge is ultimately ignorance. And they have the nature of rakshasas and asuras. In other words, they're atheists and they're enemies of the Lord. And the whole reason is prakriti mohinim shita, because they've taken shelter of the bewildering energy. Means that they think the material energy is all in all. They don't have any faith in the spiritual energy. So now Krishna is contrasting the Bhagavad Gita, all of our shastras, any effective teaching, even material teaching, works by contrast, by showing one side and then the other side. One side, this is how you see things, by contrast. So now this word two, when you see the word two, and I've learned, I don't know much about Sanskrit, but I know that this word never appears at the beginning of a verse. It's always either second word or somewhere in there near the beginning. And it means on the other hand. So he's contrasting the Mahatmas with the Rakshasas and the Asuras, those who have taken shelter of the bewildering material energy. And these Mahatmas, they take shelter of the Daivi Prakriti, Daivi Prakriti Nashrita. So now we have to discuss, well, what is the difference between the bewildering energy and the divine energy of the Lord? So this is a basic principle of understanding Vaishnav Siddhanta. You've heard of these three divisions, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha is the understanding of who is God, who we are, what is this nature, and what are the relationships between them. And so when we speak of, or when Krishna speaks, say, in the seventh chapter about the eight material energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, this is part of Sambandha. He's explaining his relationship with what we experience every day, which is this external energy. That ultimately this external energy is not acting independently. It is his energy, and as he reiterates here, under my supervision everything is working. So we understand from Bhagavad Gita and other sources that there's these three basic divisions of energy. There's the internal energy, Krishna's own sarup shakti within in the spiritual world, you see. And there is the marginal energy, which comprises us, the living entities. And then there's the external energy, or apara prakriti, as he says in the seventh chapter, which is this material world. And so the daivi prakriti is the internal energy. And that means that the great mahatmas, they always look to Krishna, for inspiration. They're aware of him even while within the material energy. This is what mahatmas are, broad-minded souls. They're not bewildered by the phantasmagoria of the material world. And it's easy to understand what that phantasmagoria is because we've all experienced it. It's the wonderful play of the shadow, the reflection of the reason why the material energy is so fascinating is because it's a reflection of the spiritual world, of the variegatedness in the spiritual world. But it is simply a ephemeral dream. It's not real in the sense of being permanent. It's as real as a reflection is. You can't say a reflection isn't real. But it's certainly not what it appears to be. If a child gets absorbed in the reflection and tries to talk to that person on the other side of the mirror, which is just himself, he's a foolish child, right? But that's exactly what we're doing. As living entities, we belong by nature. Although we're marginal, we intrinsically belong to that spiritual nature. And we're called para prakriti in seventh chapter. So we're exiles, actually. We've turned away from Krishna, and therefore we've been absorbed in this material energy. We've taken shelter of the bewildering energy since time immemorial, birth after birth. So now Krishna is giving a very stark contrast now, description, between those who are completely absorbed, taken shelter, ashrita, of this material energy, and those who are taking shelter of the internal energy by being conscious of Krishna personally, learning how he's present even in this material world, and learning how to act in this material world so that we are in tune, if you will, in tune with Krishna's desires, which is our natural state. As Lord Chaitanya says, when the first question of Sanatana Goswami is, who am I? Why am I suffering? And the first answer is, Jivera Swarupoi, Krishnera Nityadas. Krishnera Tatastha Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. All three of those statements about the living entity are the Swarup. He's talking, this is the Swarup of the living entity. So the first thing is we're eternal servants of Krishna. And the second one is we're Tatastha Shakti, on that margin between the material and the spiritual energy. This is our constitutional position. It means that we have minute free will. We can take shelter of the material energy, or we can take shelter of the spiritual energy. This is our freedom. And we, as conditioned souls, have misused that freedom. Sometime, in the distant, misty past, we can't even tell how long ago. And so we've been absorbed in the material energy since time immemorial. But it doesn't mean we're condemned eternally. Nobody is eternally condemned, because our nature is to be within the spiritual energy. So the art of bhakti is weaning ourselves away from the material energy or absorption in it, in trying to enjoy it and exploit it and control it. In other words, trying to be little Krishnas and rather learning how to use the material energy to connect us again to Krishna personally. Because after all, it's his energy. Just like this temple, you know, or the deities. Now the deities, you know, the material is, oh, they're stone, you know. The devotee would never even say that, right? But we see that, well, what is the deity form, or the whole temple for that matter? It has been transformed by the intelligence, guided by the shastras, by the guru, you know, so that the same brick and wood and stone has now become, facilitated our, turning to the spiritual energy. In other words, we don't see stone, we see Krishna in the deity. When we hear the holy name is especially Krishna's merciful manifestation. Now, in one sense, it's sound. There's so many different names. But it's a special sound. And especially when vibrated by devotee, pure devotee, with great devotion, it can penetrate the illusioned heart and awaken that soul to the spiritual energy. So, Krishna is giving us a choice. Now, he's giving us the definition now of the Mahatma. And then the next verse he will tell what his activities are, basically. But let's go through this purport and see how Prabhupada describes. So the description is clearly given. He's situated in divine nature. And how is it affected by surrender? So notice the word ashrita is used in both verses, both for the rakshasas and for the mahatmas. And this word shrita or ashrita is used also in text 12. So the living entity is very minute, infinitesimal. You have to surrender. You have to accept the influence of an energy, of a powerful energy, and then follow it. As Prabhupada says, the mind must accept the influence of a higher influence and follow it. But because we're human beings and not just animals working by instinct, we by our higher intelligence, we can direct the mind and we can direct the senses what we're going to surrender to. This is the great value of the human life. Labdvasudulamamidam bahusambhavante. We've attained it after many, many births, this human form of life. And it's unique. It's temporary like all other forms. We only have a certain number of days in the human form. But it's artadam. It can give us the ultimate goal of life. Prema pumarta mahan. The ultimate arta or value in life, in human life, is to attain love for Krishna. But we're a long way from that in our conditioned state. So therefore, this verse says you should strive for the ultimate good that you cannot attain in any other form, which we simply waste in this pursuit of sense gratification. So how to know how to strive, how to act in such a way as to purify our consciousness of this absorption in material things and the pursuit of sense gratification. So that the very same mind, the very same senses, the very same intelligence can be used for our upliftment rather than our degradation. This is the art and science of bhakti, and we cannot figure it out ourselves, and so we need instruction like this from the pure devotees who are Krishna's emissaries. They're, you know, helping us. So Prabhupada is giving us nice instruction here. How is it affected? Seventh chapter. So he's referring to this verse. Who knows the verse? He's referring to where you surrender. These three modes of nature. My divine nature. Come on. Somebody must know that. Daivi. Mamamaya Dorachaya. Thank you. Mameva Padyante. There's a surrender word. Daivi Eshagunamami Mamamaya Dorachaya. Dorachaya means you cannot cross it on your own. We're trapped. You know? We're trapped by our conditioned mind and our conditioned senses. So, daivyesha gunamahi mamamaya adurateya, it is a divine energy, because it's my energy. You know. In other words, it's Krishna's energy, and everything related to Krishna is divine. So in one sense, everything is divine. By our ignorance, we see it as mundane. So what's the solution? Mamevyepapadyante. By surrendering unto me, one easily crosses beyond it. Prabhupada, in that purport, in the seventh chapter, he gives the example, guna can mean rope. If you're tied up tightly, you know, to a chair, you can't get free yourself. You need someone who's untied. So that's where the spiritual master comes in. One who has already transcended, who is transcendental to this material world. They can untie us by the good instructions. By their good instructions. This brings up the, we were discussing in San Diego, the pastime where Mahatma Vidura returns to Hastinapur. You know, he's just heard all this instruction from Maitreya, whole third and fourth canto. He went on pilgrimage everywhere, and he met Uddhava, and then he heard so many instructions from Maitreya, and now you know he's completely transcendental. But he goes all the way back to Hastinapur. Who remembers why he basically went back? You know the pastime? Dhritarashtra, to deliver his brother. Because his brother Dhritarashtra is now, you know, sitting at home, in Yudhisthira's home. He tried to kill them. You know, he was controlled by his son Duryodhan, but the house of lack, the poison, the war itself, you know. And yet, you know, he's now bereft of his 100 sons, were killed by Bhima, and yet still he hasn't, you know, he's so, helpless that he's sitting there, you know, taking the remnants of food from Bhima's plate. That what Vidura says. So what Vidura does, he comes back, and like the Mahatma that he is, he uses these strong words to cut Dhritarashtra's attachment. This is necessary on the part of the Guru. Krishna does it himself at the beginning. Ashochana Bashotastram. You know, basically he's telling Arjuna, you're a fool. You know, what you ever say, everything you've just told me in chapter one is on the bodily concept of life. So there's this nice verse in the 11th canto describing what the Mahatmas do. You know, the sadhus, the mahatmas, their service, that of compassion, they speak strong words. So Krishna is describing, now in the 11th canto, there's this Ayala Gita, you know, this song of Pururava. And finally, he sees the light. You know, he's been infatuated with Urvashi for how many years? Thousands of years. And, you know, he's gone all over the universe. And finally, he says, enough already. And he has this whole song of renunciation, and then Krishna speaks a kind of a coda in that chapter after he described it as part of the Uddhava Gita. So in that section, he has this key verse that's quoted also in chapter one of the Adi Lila about the gurus, spiritual masters. So he says, Tasmat, what is it? Thank you. Tasmat duksangam utsrija satsu sadjeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti monovyasangam uktibihi. So one has to have, you know, the spiritual strength, really, to be willing to surrender to a great soul who will oftentimes chastise you and say things that are like painful. So what he's saying here is that one should throw bad association far away. Duksangam. You know how important satsanga is, right? Well, the opposite is duksanga. Bad association that just contaminates one's consciousness. So utsvija is a word that means throw it far away. Don't just, you know, walk away, run away, or that's utsvija. And then what, so now what do I, who do I, so, satsu sadjeta, buddhiman. One has to be intelligent. The intelligent person should get away from bad association and relish good association with the satsu, with the devotees, advanced devotees. Why? Santa, the santas, the saints, with their words, uktibi, they will cut off, chindanti, the very strong desires in one's mind. Manovyasangam uktibi. We should always remember that we're living with the worst enemy, our conditioned mind. You know, when we learn that, the uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. You know, Krishna says right in the Bhagavad Gita. So how do we make the mind our friend? Well, we have to discipline the mind. We have to purify the mind. That's the great austerity. That's where the real sadhana is. Like any yogis, you know, ultimately this boils down to a yoga process. We have to control the mind and the senses and fix it on Krishna. That's not an easy task sometimes. So we need help from strong souls who are willing to break our attachment by strong words. And that's what Vidura did for Dhritarashtra. He didn't become a pure devotee, but at least he left home and he got in personal liberation through the yoga process. So, Krishna is saying in chapter 7, one has to surrender to me, and then one can get easily cross beyond the material energy. Surrendering to Krishna means taking shelter of the eternal energy. That's what it means. That is the qualification. And then one becomes free of the control of material nature when he surrenders his soul to the Lord. That is preliminary formula. So being marginal potency, we're always marginal potency. Always. That's our sarup. As well as one with and different from Krishna. Veda, Veda, Prakash. These three statements are made by Lord Chaitanya in that first verse of instruction to Sanatana Goswami. So, as marginal potency, by turning away from Krishna, we come under the control of the material energy. By turning toward Krishna, material energy releases us. Because after all, it's Krishna's energy. So if we're under Krishna's protection, then the material energy can't touch us. So the devotees are always calling out. This is what it means to be chanting Hare Krishna constantly. If you're chanting in that mood, Trinadapi Suni Chena, Tadarapi Sahishnana, right? Amanina Mana Dena Kirtani Sadahari. So if you really feel yourself to be as humble as a blade of grass and as tolerant as a tree, then we're helpless, right? We need Krishna's protection at every moment. And so the real the great devotees, they're always calling out to Krishna. I mean, you know, they're calling out the holy name constantly. And therefore they're always protected. Krishna's protecting it. It's when we lose that edge where we're feeling, well, it's not so bad actually. You know, I can do something on my own or I can enjoy a little bit. You know what I mean? You're making compromises with material energy. Then you're not calling out to Krishna. We're in helplessness. Think, oh, I got it. I got it pretty well together, you know. Actually, growing old is a great benediction in Krishna consciousness. Because you can see you have no control. I've injured my arm somehow. You know, nothing super serious, I hope. But it just doesn't do what I wanted to do anymore. You know, if I bend it a certain way, there's pain. It's like, don't you just take it for granted? You can just go to do this, do that, do, you know, anything. But then suddenly, you can't anymore. You know, so the point is that this material world is here to teach us. It's meant to reform us. The material world itself acts as a guru if you're awake to it. That's the first lesson in the Uddhava Gita, right? Krishna talks about the soul is wandering all over the world. He takes lessons from everything. You know, from the very earth, he's learning, you know, tolerance. From the dog, you know, he's learning faithfulness and all these things. You know, the bee, you know, don't get dependent on too many people. You know, you take the madhukari, you know. In other words, if your eyes are open with knowledge, you can learn from everything. Prabhupada would do this on his morning walks, you know. There's a story. He's walking in the morning, you know, and so many things. So they walk under the tree, and suddenly they see some droppings from a bird, you know. So he stops him. You know, he's a morning walk, and these are all the leading devotees. You know, you got sannyasis and everybody on there, and it's, what does that mean? What the heck? I forget what they answered, but they were way off the mark. Any guess with that? So Prabhupada said, even the bird is trying to make a home, you know, in the material world. He's trying to make some home. So he's got this one spot that he's always in the tree, you know. In other words, every living entity is trying to arrange his little spot in the material world for safety and security, you know. But it's hopeless. You know, whether you're a bird or a lion or a human being, eventually it doesn't work. So there's no place in this material world that's secure. Alright, so going on. Probably talks about the divine energy. So that's the whole thing is condensed in that form of surrender. But what that surrender consists of and how to, stay surrendered. You know, we may think, oh, I surrendered. You know, I joined the temple. Right? Now I'm initiated, now I'm so-and-so das, or dasi. Yeah. No, surrendering is a surrendering at every moment. there's no end to it. The natural position of the living entity is to be surrendered to Krishna's will. You know. But we find ourselves, well, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes, you know, I'm not always feeling completely ecstatic bliss, which we would be if we were surrendered at every moment. So it's a project, you know. In other words, it's a path, and it's supposed to be a path of increasing surrender and Krishna consciousness. So then, and that's exactly what he does not divert this whole thing. Bhajanti Anyanyamanaso. This is a key phrase. It comes up again and again. Similar statement. That he's always worshiping Krishna without deviation of attention. That's what the whole thing of unalloyed means. You know, how to get that. Now that can only be affected if one develops really attachment to Krishna. If you're really attached to something or someone, then you can't divert your mind. You want to think of that person or that thing at every moment. And the only thing that really is worthy of that kind of attention is Krishna. Because he's ever fresh. Everything in his material will become stale. People become infatuated with other human beings. They become absorbed in games. They become absorbed in, you know, any kind of unlimited number of things. But eventually, you know, it becomes dry and stale or fails you. It cannot reciprocate your hopes for that relationship, whatever it may be. The only thing that can reciprocate perfectly with your giving your, you know, more and more of your attention is Krishna himself. So now let's read about what the Mahatma actually does here. Short description. Satatam kirti yanto mam yatantascha dridhavataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai, Shri Gornatai Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji Ki Jai. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, and smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, or great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. In any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. So you can see the first quality here is Satatam Kirti Yantam. I'm always chanting my glories. I always think of Prabhupada when I read this verse. Prabhupada, practically speaking, if you look at what he did, Certainly from the time we knew him when he came in 65, this is what he was doing. He was either directly chanting the glories of the Lord, writing, speaking to his devotees, guiding his society. And there's a taste that develops for that, that is just so great that it's like an intoxicant. You read about that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya would get together with his intimate devotees, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, or Haridas, you know, in Puri. And they would just go on and on all night. There was no question of stopping, you know, until you have to perform your morning duties, you know, whatever. And so what is it that, now we're going to be discussing this in some of our seminars, which are entitled Hearing, Chanting, and Remembering, which is exactly what's being talked about here, that especially in this age, our connection is most feasible through sound vibration, specifically and beginning with the holy name. Krishna makes himself available to us because this is the great advantage of the bhakti yogis over any other kind of yogis, what to speak of the materialists. And that is that we have this intimate relationship with Krishna, eternally. Krishnara Nityadas, we are eternally his servants, he's eternally our master. But it's a very intimate, loving relationship. It's like a father and a son, or a father and a child. You know. So the child goes out of home, goes off to San Francisco, you know, lives on the street, forgets all about the father. You know, gets into trouble, whatever, right? But the parents, the father, is always thinking, when will they call? When will they write? You know? Are they, is there, you know, and if there is some call, even if just send some money, it says, okay, how you doing? I'll send you $100, you know. In other words, the concern on the part of the father is constant. Now, this is a material example, so there may be some, mistakes in it, but it's a good example. Prabhupada gives it. So Krishna's concern for us is unbreakable. It's eternal. We're his children. Aham bija pradakpita. But we have, strayed. You know, we've forgotten about him. Being absorbed in this material energy, trying to enjoy. It's been given to us to try to imitate. You know? So that we can get it out of our system, so to speak. And finally learn with the necessary intervention of learned souls, of pure devotees who know the science, and with the intervention of Krishna sometimes, Bhagavad Gita for instance, that this is not our real home, it's not our place of happiness, you can never be happy here. And now you should turn back to me. And what's the main means of doing that? The sound vibration. The Gita, the Bhagavatam, all the Shastra, the devotees who personify it and speak it, such as Srila Prabhupada, who can actually infuse in the hearts of the listeners the faith that this is real. Because it's all amazing. And even the soul is amazing. What to speak of Krishna, the spiritual world, and all those different things. But yes, there's a faith. There's enough faith to come into the association, Shraddha, and associate with devotees, and begin some kind of bhajan, chanting the holy name. And as soon as that happens, one is willing to hear and chant these vibrations beginning with the holy name, then the purification starts. And Krishna, from within the heart, you know, he increases that faith and gives you some realization. And you're on your way. How fast you go, that's up to us. Our sincerity. And our determination and all of the things that we know. So the great devotees, the Mahatmas, they're always chanting. There's such a taste to it. You know. Tunde tandavani dating batanote tundavali labdeye. Who knows this verse? Who's heard this verse before? Anyone remember? Huh? You've heard it? Alright, this is a great teaching thing because this is the standard. For how, you know, pure devotees like Rupa Goswami wrote this verse near the beginning of his Vidagna Madhava. Here is how he's hearing the holy name. You know, in contrast to us, who sometimes have trouble staying awake with chanting japa, he's saying, oh, I don't know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Just these two syllables, Krishna. When I chant them, they seem to dance within the mouth and I want to have millions of mouths. Tandavani vatanuti tundavali, many mouths. And they enter the ear. Why just two ears? I mean, you have millions of ears to hear these nectarian syllables, Krishna. You know? And then when they enter the courtyard of the heart, They completely take over the mind and consciousness, so the senses become inert, the mind, and become fixed on Krishna. Lord Chaitanya started dancing in ecstasy when he heard this verse. And it's literally, you know, many, many verses like that. So what is it? I mean, this is the reality. In other words, this is how the holy name, the pure holy name, is actually tasted and experienced by great devotees. But we should understand that that's, we can also do that. It's just a question of becoming purified. Atakshri Krishna Namari Namave Grayam Indriya. We cannot perceive the real nature of the name, form, qualities, etc. of Krishna with our present senses. Indriya, Bhave Indriya. But Seva Mukhe Hijivado Swayameva Spuratyada. That by beginning this service, beginning with the tongue, chanting the holy name, tasting prasadam, hearing, eventually the purification becomes such that Krishna reveals himself. And this is, as I was mentioning, this is the great advantage of the devotees. Krishna wants us to succeed. He has no such care for the impersonal meditators trying to go to the Brahmajyoti. What to speak of those trying to go to the heavenly planets or the yogis getting the siddhis? You know? Krishna is just, you know, he's watching as the super soul. And he's overseeing. But he's not personally concerned. So the devotees are feeling his presence through all of this chanting. And they're very determined to serve Krishna. This is what you see in the great devotees. Look at all the stories in the Bhagavatam that, you know, great devotees had to overcome in their service. Whether Prahlad or Dhruva Maharaj, you know, Bali, Kunti, the Pandavas, they all had tests, you know, that they passed. This is one of the ways in which you show your affection and love for Krishna. Is that you take on something difficult for his service. Now each of us has a different level of difficulty that we can manage. You know, for some, many, you know, 16 rounds, 4 regular principles, that's a big, you know, that's a mountain to climb. Alright, let's climb it. And once we're able to do it, then take on more. You know, this Prabhupada's a great example. He took on that incredible mission to come to America. You know, and he was the only one who did. You know, I mean, no one was ready to do it. And by it, he got all the blessings. Krishna, the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, everyone. You know, he was so empowered. And that's why we're sitting here. So that's one of the great qualities of the real Mahatmas. They're very, very eager to serve Krishna at every moment as possible. Namasyantastamam bhakti. Always, you know, bowing down with great devotion. And always linked up and worshiping me in this way. So, it cannot be manufactured. So Prabhupada, now the language, you know, this is one of the things we face. That the very words and the language that is used to describe these great souls, this can be misappropriated. You know? Now, you know, Prabhupada was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. But he later said, well, he wasn't really a Mahatma. That's who he's referring to here. It's not some rubber stamping. It's not a politician. You have to always be chanting the glories of the Lord, you know. And Prabhupada wrote Mahatma Gandhi. You're the whole country is focused on you. Whatever you do is an example. Now you can actually propagate the Gita. Just imagine if Mahatma Gandhi, you know, Mohandas Gandhi had actually done that. But no, he had his own ideas. It didn't work out. But the point is we have to know what a real Mahatma is, what a real sadhu is. Otherwise, we can easily be cheated. That's one of the evils of the age. Remember? We don't live very long, and we're lazy in the matter of spiritual life, and we're misguided. Even if one wants spiritual life, you can go off here, you know, this way. I'll tell you something I do, but I don't want to, maybe forgive me, the deities. But, I happen to be looking at what was his name? Was Osho? What was he before? Rajneesh. Ay. So I'm not going to go into details, but still today, he's already gone. He's left his body years ago, but he still has a place near Pune, right? So I forget why, but I got onto their website just to see what is going on there. What do they do? What's happening? Influence. This is a man, you know, like it or not, he has some influence. And here they show, you know, Here are young men, young women who could be bhaktas. They could be devoted. You know, they're searching, they're looking for something, and they get misguided to go to this thing. And I grit my teeth. They have a Krishna house in there. You know, there's nothing to do with Krishna that I can see. It's just an ashram. That money, you know, there's some kind of a nice setup over there. And they have all kinds, the big, you know, pyramid house and a huge, thousands of people could be, all different kinds of meditation, whatever you want, you know. And then, to top it all off, this is a little YouTube type thing. And then in the evening, they have a club. They have a nightclub. Yeah. And there's all the yogis dancing, you know, drinking wine and everything. Yes. Just see, you know. This is exactly, you know, manda sumanda matayo. You know, it's a tragedy reel, really. You know, these people, they want something genuine and is diverted into this. And, you know, who knows how long it'll take to actually come to Krishna. So our task, you know, we have a duty. Is we have been given so much. Look at the gifts we've been given, the knowledge, the holy name, the deities, the prasad, the association, the pilgrimage sites, the temple of Vedic planetarium. You know, this is all manifesting by the energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotee and his followers, you know. So we have a duty to become advanced in devotional service and to help the masses of people who are just, you know, suffering like anything without this knowledge. Somehow give them a chance at least by giving them a book, prasadam, holy name, somehow or other, trying to attract them to Krishna, just as we were. And that's what the real Mahatmas do. They take on the mission of the Lord. If you're a servant of Krishna, then that means you want to follow his mission. And Krishna's mission is definitely, you know, paratanaya sadhana, to protect the devotees, enliven the devotees, destroy the miscreants, and reestablish real dharma. So that was also Lord Chaitanya's mission. He didn't kill anybody, but he killed the demons inside us, you know, by propagating the holy name. His weapons are the holy name. So we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his two tracks also. He had his internal reasons to relish, you know, the love of Krishna from Srimati Radharani's point of view and all of that entailed. That was his own, personal reason, internal reason. But the external reason he had also, to propagate devotional service at the highest plane. By, you know, spreading the Sankirtan movement. So we should also have that. They go together. You can't really, you know, help anyone unless you also have some understanding and you're following. So if you're advancing nicely, you'll have some potency. But we should not neglect our own sadhana. That's very important. Sometimes that's all we should do. Go on pilgrimage and just cheer and chant and relish. You know. But we also have our duty to try to help others. And they help each other, undoubtedly. Okay, we have a little time for discussion. Jagannath Prabhu.
I'm thinking on the Madhya Lila, chapter 7, when Lord Chaitanya is doing his South Indian preaching.
When
Lord Chaitanya is doing his South Indian preaching.
Okay.
And he's on the pathway, he sees Mahadi Hadi, and he embraces them. And then instills them with devotional potency. And Prabhupada says he instills them with Bhakti Shakti,
right,
which is the sambit of Bhakti Shakti. So it's Swarup Shakti.
Right.
So what's the difference between Krishna endowing someone with Swarup Shakti and the idea that's been expressed in 9.13 of they take shelter of Swarup Shakti? Because they seem a little bit different. Then this one is like Krishna's granting. And we also hear that Swaprema is Krishna gives the gift,
yes,
of the love of God. But here they're taking shelter of Swarup Shakti.
Well, I often wondered about that. Is it chapter 7? I think it's also chapter 9, describing him going to different, his method of preaching, right? It describes that. Yeah, he would go and chant, and people would come attracted. They would become pure devotees, go home. You know, it would actually be catching. They would go to their hometown, and anyone who came in contact with them would get the prema. And so this, how is that different from zapping someone, you know? So, wait a minute, that's not what needs to be described in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, the way I understand that, part of the way I understand it is that these are very special souls who were contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya. And that they were already primed for that, you know, even if it doesn't even, you know, look like it. In other words, they may not appear to be, but because they're contemporaries and they get that, they have a whole background. Just like it says of the friends of Krishna, you know. That they have kṛta puṇya puṇja, You know, that for someone who happened to see, you know, see, well, what, wow, how fortunate they were. You know, they just happened to be in the same place where Krishna was, and now they are allowed to play with Krishna. No, they have a special, you know, background. They're eligible to be born at that time and play with Krishna. So this was Chaitanya's Leela. He also had that, you know, the background of all of these contemporaries, brought him to that point. In other words, there has to be this free will aspect, because, as you know, it's very clear, without that, where is the love and devotion? But at the same time, you know, the way it acts, just like, you know, even in Srila Prabhupada's presence, you could find, you know, people would sometimes say, you know, later they became devotees, and they would tell how they met Prabhupada, how they, you know, they'd never seen anyone like him. In other words, by his presence itself, that attracted them. And they felt, you know, transcendental inspiration to learn more about Krishna consciousness. So, somewhere along the line, there has to be that aspect of surrender, that aspect of turning toward Krishna. Now, some of these devotees, you know, these contemporaries of the Lord, because this is a special circumstance, they're eternal devotees who are coming down to help in, you know, Lord Krishna's Leela, even in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. We find the Gauragana Deshdipika, right? And so it's very hard to glean from that they're, you know, that we can, you know, maybe that, well, what's the idea? Well, I'm just going to wait till I get zapped, you know? I haven't been zapped yet, so maybe I should, you know, that's why I'm not a devotee. Sometimes you hear, I'll surrender to Krishna when he tells me to. As if he's not telling you right here in the Bhagavad Gita. You know? When I feel it, then I'll do it, you know? Well, that's not how it works. So, with the end result is the same. You know, the end result is the same. Is that we also have the opportunity to become completely absorbed like these devotees. But this is a special circumstance. In Lord Chaitanya's time, you know, just to go out and preach, just to go out and spread the holy name. But even we see that even on a small scale, you know, a very powerful Harinam or a Ratha Yatra can draw so many people in who would have never heard of Krishna before. And this can often be their first contact, and, you know, and before long they're chanting Hare Krishna, you know. So it's really a question of the purity. Who could be more pure and potent than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You know, he could just dance and chant, and the prema is just flowing off of him, you know, and just getting, what is it they, like the loving network, you know, you get caught in the loving network of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for us, this is, you know, it's a struggle, it's a sadhana, because we're so absorbed on the material side, and we don't have Lord Chaitanya personally present, you know, to, you know, because we're not eligible. We weren't, you know, to be born at that time. But just see how fortunate we are. We're practically, you know, contemporaries of Srila Prabhupada. And on a larger scale, we're practically contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, how often does he appear? Once in a day of Brahma. How long is that? Who can give me an approximation? I'm talking day and night now. 8 billion years. It's more than 8 billion years. And it was like 550 years ago, that's like nothing, you know. And so practically, you know, we can still see the pastime places where Lord Chaitanya performed this Leela, you know. And so we're very fortunate. We should take advantage of that and become, in our own little way, touchstones who can also inspire the faith that can get people to take up the process or at least investigate it further. This is the way I see it. There's a special situation with those devotees. Anyone else have any discussion, question? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Bo.
I have one question within this discussion. I wanted to ask one kind of follow-up. Could you give a similar explanation for Mahaprabhu of Jarikanda, and then
those elephants and, yeah, and deer.
That could be a similar
those are some pretty fortunate elephants and deer, I would say.
fortunate or special.
Well, on one side, you could say whichever deer and elephants and rhinoceroses happen to be there, they would get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be purified and dance and chant. Or you could look at it, it's not any deer or rhinoceros that could be there at that spot and that point and get the mercy. You know? So in one sense, you know, Prabhupada would sometimes describe it that way. You know, sometimes he said, oh, you've all been sent by my Guru Maharaj. You know what I mean? We've all had some, you know, experience in Krishna guidance. And other times he said, I've made you good fortune. You know? But the thing is, it's, you know, what we get from that, you know, Jarikhan, is just, you know, the power, Krishna's power, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power to purify is unlimited. You know, and are we really that much different than the dancing white elephants? He called us, right? I mean, when he went to India. So the point is that somehow or other we have to let ourselves get drawn in, you know, to this wonderful process, and then the sky's the limit. I mean, I remember when we used to read the CC when it first came out, you know, and we'd actually think, oh, there it is. You know, it's prema. Prema is being Mahabhadanaya, Krishna Bhavadaya. Lord Chaitanya is giving out the prema. Oh, well, we may be dancing, you know, in our sheets on Fifth Avenue, but we're part of the whole process, and it won't be long before we're also floating in prema. You know? Now, of course, it's not so easy as that. But the point is, we have to feel confident, you know, that we can also do that. And that, oh, I missed chance. I wasn't in that jungle at the time. I wasn't in that South India when Lord Chaitanya came. This is all part of Lord Chaitanya's movement. You know, we can also lose ourselves in the holy name and experience these higher aspects. We should feel like that. Give us hope. Yeah.
My other question.
Try to speak into the mic because all this echo is my ears. Okay, go ahead.
My other question was this Dridha Vrata. How does one get that?
By giving up sinful activity. Yesham tandakatam papam jananam punyakamanam teidvandamohane mukta pujante maam dridha vrata. The determination comes, Prabhupada said in the Yoga System tapes, famously, determination will be there when you give up sex life. You know, that's the first thing. So, that, you know, I mean, there's many ways it comes, but that verse is important. Yesham dvandakatam papam. You know, that one has to be just performing pious activity means activities in Krishna consciousness. And, one will one will feel more empowered to be able to do devotional service. It is a question of, you know, faith and desire, you know. That's why it's important for us to hear about the higher levels of devotional service, the spiritual world, you know. So keep our minds on the goal, so that the immediate task of, you know, regulating our sadhana, becoming serious about it, doing the thing, everything that we know we should do in order to become more enthusiastic and determined, we'll be inspired to do that. It's like anybody who undertakes a difficult task. Suppose you want to get a degree. You know, you want to become a doctor. Well, that's the holy grail, you know. And you hear about that and I can do so much good for humanity or whatever, you know. Well, then you got to slog through organic chemistry and you have to become an intern and work 36 hours straight in the hospital and all those. Why go through all that? Because I know that at the end I'll be a doctor, you know. So similarly, if we're going to be determined, we should be be careful of our association. Do all the things that we learn to do. We have to study, you know, so that we know, you know, the pitfalls that we should avoid. Upadeshamrita, you know. And then that determination will be bestowed on us. That's part of it. Krishna gives us the determination. So it's a question of desire and faith and prayer. This is what, that was our last seminars were on prayer, to pray for the, you know, spiritual strength to become advanced in devotional service. Shouldn't neglect prayer. So I'll end with a special prayer. A couple of special prayers. What should we pray for? So, famous prayer. Tvai me nannivishaya mati marupate sakrit ratamudvahataradha gange vaugamadanvati. O Maru's Lord, Queen Kunti prays, O Maru's Lord, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of Thee, not any other kind. As Ganges torrent flows into the sea, let all my love flow constantly to Thee. We should ask for benedictions, like a benediction that Prahlad asked for. He asked for two. One was to save his father, right? But there was another one. It says, Yadi dasasi me kaman vadang sun vadadarshaba kamanam vadyasangroham bhavadastu vanevaram. Because the Sringadeva was saying, now you can have whatever you want. He says, I'm not doing business with you. Don't tempt me, my lord. I'm not a vanik, you know. I simply want your devotional service. But Nisringadeva, he saw that Nisringadeva wanted to give him a benediction. So what to do? He wants to fulfill the desires of his spirit, you know, of Lord Nisringadeva. Okay, so he says, if you want to give me, oh, best of the benedictors, if you want to give me a benediction, here's my request. That in my heart, no material desire will ever take root. Kamanam ridya sangroham. That will be the best benediction you can give me. You know? So we can pray like that. Pray like that. Or, in more florid form, more, you know. Om namo bhagavate narasinghaya namaste jas tejase avadavim bhavavadunaka vadvudangshtakarma shayan randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om svaha abhiham abhiham atmani buhishta om shram. Does anyone know this verse? I know you know. This verse, In the purport of this verse, now visualize this. 1975, May. 17 books in 2 months. This has been Prabhupada's assignment for the BBT. If you don't do it, you're disqualified, right? So I was not working on the marathon. I was working on BTG so Jayawaita Swami could work on the marathon. But then one of our editors couldn't complete. So now I'm part of the marathon. And this chapter, I'm working on this chapter. The prayers of the residents of Jamadweep offer prayers. It's in the fifth canto. This is Prahlad Maharaj. And then they do this, work on this verse, purport. It's late at night, you know, I'm working like hours and hours. And then at the end of this purport, Prabhupada says, in the manuscript, any devotee who wants to be free of material desires should pray to Lord Nisringadeva as Prahlad Maharaj prays here. Oh, it's my chance, you know. So immediately, on the manuscript, I memorized this verse. And many devotees of America, the Prabhupada says, you want, you know. So what he says to Nisringadeva, oh, I offer my basis unto Lord Nisringadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaste, just tejase. Obeisance unto you, O Lord, the most powerful of the powerful. Avadavi Baba. Please be manifest in my heart. And with your, thunderbolt-like teeth and your thunderbolt-like claws rip out the material desires in my heart. Vajranaka vajradanda karmashayan. Karmashayan means my aspirations for fruit of activity. Randaya randaya. Eliminate them. Destroy them. And this repetition is a sign of high emotion intensity. Tamo grasa grasa. Wipe away the darkness in my heart. Om svaha. I offer oblations unto you. Abhayam abhayam atmani, please be manifest in my heart and give me fearlessness in this world. It's a great prayer in the fifth canon. Anyway, there are many other prayers like that, but prayers are important. The Hare Krishna mantra itself is a prayer. Prabhupada taught us. Pray, you know, please, Radha and Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please engage me, just like a helpless child crying after his mother. So, this is how we can stay determined in devotional service. Anything else? Or should we adjourn? Should we have a little kirtan? How much time do we have with the deities open? About to close? 8 o'clock? So what should we do? Kirtan? We have a quorum. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.